Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Keeps it real.
I'm good. I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on this Wednesday, October the 28th, and welcome to it as we roll towards Atlanta United tonight and the Falcons tomorrow and this big college football weekend ahead, and so it all kind of gears up beginning today. Hugh Douglas, what is up?
Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? We're getting closer to trick-or-treat this weekend. I don't know what exactly that means. That might just mean, for a lot of people, you know, John Fricky, a trip to the liquor store. You know, I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
That just might be a liquor store trip this weekend. And you might have an adult Halloween.
You know what? I hadn't really considered it much, only because, I think I'm going to Scrooge the whole Halloween thing. I'm gonna be that guy. I mean,
There ain't nothing wrong with that. I've been doing it forever. So, ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm going to do it. I need to stop by the store myself. I need to get me another bottle of Uncle Nearest because some reason – I buy a bottle, John, and like on a Friday night, I wake up in the morning. Those liquor gremlins. They be coming in here and they be sipping. They be sipping kind of heavy.
Sipping. They're gulping.
They be sipping kind of heavy, John. And I'm like, damn, I just bought this bottle, so I need to go. I need to get another bottle.
Is Uncle Dearest? Is he a friend of Keto or no?
Yes. You know what's funny? It's whiskey, vodka. I think it was vodka. Right. Any clear, like the clear I got, tequila. It's a couple of them, but the lady told me like six drinks minimum. You know.
Minimum.
Yeah. So it all depends on she didn't say how much in every drink. She just said six drinks and I was like, I can do that. Six drinks, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, that exactly. She was real vague. So I was like, cool, six drinks. So I can do that. She ain't say what size the pour. She just said at least keep it to six. And I was like, okay, I can keep it to six.
I was going to kick out of that, you know, standard size, you know. A drink is like, you know, 2 ounces of wine or something. I'm like,
and with me, I'm like, hey, you got to count for my size, lady. You got to count for my size. But, yeah, shout out to Nuber T because, she was saying that, you know, that's what it is. I can, you know, I can pick it up, have a little bit of alcohol. Mm-hmm. They don't suggest it, but, you know, they know we're grown. You know, you're grown man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get a little alcohol, so yeah.
Yeah, well, because we've got signs, you know, out front of my neighborhood, there's signs that all over the place, and they're like these guideline signs for trick-or-treating. You know, trick-or-treating is going to be Saturday night, and, you know, socially distant and things of this nature, and, you know, all these guideline signs for trick-or-treating. And I thought, boy, you know, tough on the kids. I think I might go ahead, when I say Scrooge, I'm going to get a bunch of candy, I'm going to put it in a pumpkin, you know, one of those plastic pumpkins, and I'll put it on my front porch, and if kids want to come up and grab some, that's fine.
I mean, yeah, that's fine. That'll work.
But I think I'm going to go upstairs into the back bedroom and probably just kind of make a
watch all the horror movies. You know, it's going to be a horror.
No,
movie
I'm going to be watching football. It's Saturday.
Oh yeah,
night.
That's right. That is right. You know what it is. So I'm going to have to figure that out. Like, pick the choice game. Definitely got to watch the Georgia Kentucky game. Definitely got to watch that one. Maybe peep into the. It's at noon. Oh yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching football. I don't know about anybody else. I mean, Georgia Tech's a 3:30 game right against Notre Dame, and
No, that's good. That might work out well into my favor. The games that I really are interested in might check out that Bama game. Bama plays this weekend, don't they, Orin? I don't have the schedule in front of me, but yeah, checked out that game, and that's about it.
Yep,
check out all the key ones.
Tonight, though, it's soccer. You're going to be checking it out. Atlanta United this evening is playing as they take on Orlando City. And by the way, Atlanta United, we were talking yesterday going, okay, you know, they don't have much of a chance. And they don't have much of a chance, but they're not dead yet. And if they can go down to Orlando and somehow win the game, suddenly they could be above the playoff line with two games to go if they get a couple of breaks. I mean, they need a lot of help. I'm not trying to say anything else. Mike Conte and Jason Longshore on the call tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on Sports Radio 92 on the game with the pregame 7:30 kick between the Lions and the Five Stripes. And so Orlando City at home, Atlanta United on the road, and we'll see if United can do something. That is tonight's big game. And then, of course, it'll roll right into tomorrow where the Falcons take on the Carolina Panthers. Are we really ready? I mean, Hugh, I can't even imagine what it's like for an NFL player to come off a Sunday game and have to play on a Thursday. I mean,
it's the biggest thing I remember about that is just being mentally right, because you're talking about having a physical confrontation Sunday and having that quick turnaround. I remember me and my old teammate Paul Grazmanis used to go in on a Monday and try to go into the steam room, sauna, and just try to make sure that, you know, you get that in and try to loosen your muscles up, get a nice little Stairmaster workout in just to loosen up a little bit. The practice this week is not going to be crazy because your body's still recovering.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you got to get ready. It's more of a mental grind than anything, just mentally preparing. And then you know what's funny? As bad as your body feels on that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday when you're starting to, just trying to recuperate, it's not that bad. It's not that bad Thursday night. I know it seems like it might be the toughest thing to do, but when you have a good coaching staff that allows your body to recover, you'll be fine. I mean, it's something about it. Like, you know, and then the adrenaline start flowing again, get ready for a Thursday night football, you'll be fine.
And of course, complete coverage tomorrow, and we'll be talking about that throughout the day today and tomorrow leading up to the Falcons and the Carolina Panthers here. Now, late last night, the Los Angeles Dodgers broke the 32-year streak. They won the World Series for the first time since Kirk Gibson and all that kind of stuff as they beat the Tampa Bay Rays. And this morning, nobody is talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series, because not even Dodgers fans, because of what happened in the game that you totally just took. The post-game news conference wasn't, hey, you guys won the World Series, what an incredible run, 32 years, you know, you overcame all the demons. No. They're only talking about Justin Turner. What about Justin Turner? Well, Justin Turner, star third baseman, now free agent of the L.A. Dodgers, he was pulled out of the game by Major League Baseball after they discovered he tested positive for COVID. They pulled him out in the eighth inning. He was in the game in the eighth inning of the World Series, of a winning World Series. They take him out of the game. They put him in isolation. He refuses to stay in isolation when the Dodgers win, comes back out onto the field, takes photos with the team, and celebrates with the team, because he said to the the Major League security, he said, stop me. I'm going out there. We just won the World Series. Yeah, this is a bizarre story.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of confirms, John, what I kind of felt was going on in sports. Like, you know, you hear some of these tests, and then all of a sudden they're negative and all this other stuff. And for them to test positive and them know about it and him still play, yeah, that's real bad. That's real, real bad.
Well, the LA Times said this. It said that Turner took the test yesterday. Okay, this would have been, of course, the day before, and got an inconclusive result. So let's get our time out. He took the test Monday, got an inconclusive result on game day yesterday, Tuesday. And those are not uncommon. Major League Baseball found out about the inconclusive test in the second inning of the game last night. Okay, so in the second inning, somebody alerts Major League Baseball, hey, test on Justin Turner was inconclusive.
He tested positive, yeah.
So they get him to take another test during the game, right after the second inning. They run down, they order him to take a test in between innings, okay, so they do, or in the dugout. They get the test. and then they run the quick result thing. It comes back positive, and in the eighth inning, they run down there and say, "You're out, dude. You're out. You can't be here anymore. You're out." And so they take him out of the game. He goes back in, and again, tells security they put him in isolation. Okay, in isolation in the locker room, and he just, I guess he broke free or something, and he runs back out into the field to take photos with his team.
Yeah, that's a whole lot. But yeah. When you said they're not talking about it, I don't know, John. I looked at some footage. I got friends that live in L.A. I have a friend that lives in downtown L.A. And, man, they were all outside their cars. And they were in the cars. They were honking horn. They were like, they didn't care. I mean, they cared. They cared about it. And I saw LeBron James' tweet. You know, he's talking about he didn't want – you know, they couldn't have a parade, but he wanted a parade. So, yeah, they're pretty excited about it. And nobody really cared about the whole COVID thing at that point.
Oh, no, I get that. No, I'm talking about the media.
No, I know. I know what you're saying. But
yeah,
it was
the media.
Just
in the
post-game
news conference, the media wasn't. They were like, the Dodgers were like, well, you know, we won the World Series. Yeah, but what about Justin Turner? Do you think, you know, how did he get into the bubble? And,
yeah,
you know?
Hold up. What's going
wow.
on? Yeah, definitely.
I'm not
yeah.
laughing at COVID. I'm just saying, man.
Oh, no, I know you're not. I mean, it's not a laughing matter, but yeah, definitely. It's like, hold up, dog. What you doing?
You know, I mean. Yeah, yeah. Wait a second. You broke out of isolation. You got your tested positive for the COVID, and I mean, man, you know.
You know what else I thought about? I can't remember the guy's name, but I'm pretty sure the fellas will recall this radio host his boast when the Dodgers were against the ropes, against the Braves, and he was talking about how this World Series they don't want this one because it wouldn't count. I wonder how he feels about that now since they actually won it, because that was his big like to go to. Was the fact that, you know, we don't want this World Series because it's taint. It's not a real World Series. What'd you say his name was, Owen? I don't know if that name doesn't sound like the name, but one of those radio hosts was talking about, you know, they didn't want this one. I was like, how you feel about that now, buddy? I bet right. You want it now. I bet you somewhere celebrating now.
Yep, I mean. You know, for as great a year as Tampa's having, guess what? LA's having that year now. Lakers and Dodgers. Yep, it's suddenly turned into an LA season. And the Dodgers do win the World Series, but the Justin Turner story is kind of overwhelming everything. We'll see what they say about this today. It'll be interesting to follow on that. A lot to get into again. United tonight, Falcons tomorrow. We have the Justin Turner story coming out of the end of the World Series, and our pick ahead for the Braves is college football. It's going to be a busy show. Okay, going to be a fun show. Going to be a busy show. And next up, the Morning Mash with Oren. Some of the other stories on top of all of that we're following today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwide at radio.com. Today and then Thursday is Falcons, so a lot of stuff ahead. But right now, the Morning Mashup. And Oren Romain, Oren, what is up?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Pretty good.
That's good. Good is good. Hugh, congrats on finishing Breaking Bad.
Yeah, man.
It's a very lengthy endeavor that you went through, so.
That may be like some kind of like television record.
You mean binge watching? Yeah. You know what it was, John? It was so much stuff. It was like a snowball. You know, it started out really, really small, and then it got really, really big, and it got to the point where, you know, I just had to see what happened next. You know how you just get so engulfed in a show
mm-hmm.
that you want to see what happens next, and I couldn't wait. Yep. A couple days, so I had to just finish watching it. So I finished watching it last night, and I was just like, wow, now everybody's telling me to watch El Camino. So now I got to check out El Camino and see what that was about.
Yeah, that's the that's Jesse Pinkman. That's your boy.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. Jesse Pinkman.
So, yeah, it ends immediately after the last scene with him driving off from that little compound or whatever. It picks up like it starts off with him actually driving away, and mm-hmm. it just goes from there. So.
Okay.
You get to see a couple of old characters, some guys that, you know, you've grown to love and the time watching the series, and then they progress the story from there.
Yeah. I'm going to check that out today at some point today.
Okay. Highly recommend it. Well, I got a lot of – well, I have some lengthy audio I want to play for you all in the mashup today. So we're going to go ahead and get this going. This is a shorter one. We're going to start with this one. Hugh, you talked about how when you found out the Jets maybe wanted to draft you, like, you know what? Maybe I don't want to go to New York.
Yes, I do.
Maybe I don't want to play for New York.
I know where you're going.
There's a Jets effect that exists when that team calls your name. It's like, oh, it's New York, but I don't know about that. Yeah, it's like, maybe not. It's like playing for the Knicks now. It's like, oh, yeah, the Knicks. Nah, I would rather go play. Let me go play in Brooklyn instead. I don't want to go play in Madison Square Garden. Trevor Lawrence, possible number one pick. Right now the Jets are sitting defeat or with no wins, and they have the best odds at landing that number one pick. Probable Trevor Lawrence destination. Trevor spoke out yesterday about how the NFL is his dream, but in the words of Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend.
Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country, or that's close to home, or I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out.
That's his way of saying, God, please don't send me to the Jets.
No, man, I'm telling you. I mean, because I'm pretty sure that, you know, and listen, I got drafted by the Jets. Had a wonderful time when I was there. Rich Kotite, shout out to Rich Kotite. His birthday was like a couple days ago. But, man, I'm telling you, a kid from the Midwest going to play in New York, it was a little bit of a culture shock for me. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It really, really was. It was a culture shock for me, and it might be the same for him. I mean, he might – and then, you know, that whole getting your back beat in every weekend, too, don't sound too pleasant. You know, going to the New York Jets and having, you know – what Adam Gase is your head coach? Yeah, that don't sound too great. So yeah, all of that.
Well,
all of
Adam
that
Gase is not going to be his head coach. Come on,
who, John? He's the head coach now.
Well, yeah, he ain't going to last.
He's still there now.
Well, yeah, at the moment.
John, have you watched any Jets games? Have you seen how bad they look?
Oh, they're terrible. This is why Adam Gase is not going to be the head coach.
Yeah, but if they like. I mean, but still, even if he ain't there, John, I still probably wouldn't want to go to the Jets.
No, let's see. Well, maybe. I mean, it kind of depends. I mean, maybe. What if you have Eric Bieniemy?
And this is not – Eric Bieniemy's not going to the Jets, John. Like this is the thing. And again, I'm not trying to sound ungrateful because I'm not. But like I said, coming from a small kid from the Midwest, like in the time we lived in Long Island, that was different for me. That was different. And you know, it was one of those – it was a huge, huge adjustment. You know, it was a huge adjustment. And the simple fact that everywhere that you went in New York at that time when I was there in 95, it was – you were going to be stuck in traffic. It was a traffic jam any time that you decided to leave and go somewhere in New York. It was a traffic jam.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a little different, man. It was a little different.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, we've had guys, you know, say no to the NFL. Peyton Manning skipped out. You know, he would have been taken by, I believe, the Rams, if I remember correctly, in 97. And he waited to the next year and, of course, ended up with the Colts. And Elway told John Elway told the Colts, pound sand. He wouldn't.
Yeah, I'll go play baseball. How about that?
Yeah,
I'll go
play baseball.
He ended up going to the Broncos. Eli Manning stood on the stage and held a Chargers uniform and said, yeah, I'm not putting the hat on and by the way, I'm never going to play for you. I'm never going to go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he could do something like that, too. I mean, he could go into the draft, and if he really doesn't want to play for whoever's running the Jets, he could simply say, yeah, I'm not going to come into the draft unless you trade me.
New York.
You know what?
We're going to do a segment a little bit later here, a tease about, you know, a possible future coach that the Falcons might be playing against. If I'm at the Jets and – I know I have Trevor Lawrence. I might sell it as a package deal, just in case. To that, the idea of that coach and that quarterback playing together might not be the worst thing in the world. So not gonna spoil any segments for later there, but just saying that there's a possible package deal I would sell if I was the Jets and I was trying to acquire, trying to entice Trevor Lawrence. But
all right, there you go. Morning matchup story number two.
Neither here nor there. Jerry Jones, man, the Cowboys are a mess right now. Man, they are just
hot mess.
Hot mess, man. Just things are not well down there in Big D. Jerry does a weekly hit on a radio station down there, and the question came up about the Cowboys' leadership. It's been called into question because of nobody coming to Andy Dalton's defense after he got hit, and Mike McCarthy saying that was surprising, and he's just saying a lot of things that nobody's stepping up right now and holding players accountable, it looks like, from a player standpoint. The host asked Jerry about a possible lack of leadership, and Jerry wasn't a big fan of that question.
Does your team have a leadership void?
We're in the offensive line.
Just overall, when these
where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no.
I'm asking.
there's not a, well, just shut up and let me answer. No.
Jerry, when you go into the locker room, what I'm asking is, do you see the intangibles?
You're not asking me that. I gave you the answer. When I go into the locker room, there's no leadership void in my eyes.
Okay.
Now that's your answer. Let's move on.
Wait a minute. Who was he talking to?
The 105.3 down there in Dallas.
Is that our sister station, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, that is our sister station. Yeah, Radio.com station.
Yeah. I think we've talked to those guys before. The names escape me right now.
RJ and somebody?
Yes. Choppy. Yes. Chappy? Yes. Dude, he kind of punked them a little bit. Can I say that on air this morning?
Yeah. RJ and Chan.
I can say that, can I? Yeah, he took their man card a little bit. But I mean, hey, it's a legit question. It's a legit question, and for you to get defensive the way that you did, there is a leadership void. When you talk about the first week of the season or the second week of the season, when you talk about guys are not playing out there playing hard and say everybody doesn't play hard all the time or whatever, yeah, it's a little bit of a leadership void, because if that happens, you check that individual. You're like, yo, man, you don't say that. You don't go out. You don't air our dirty laundry out in public. You don't do that. So, yeah, I would say that, and I'm not even in the locker room. Yeah, I would definitely say it's a leadership void.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys right now. We'll have to touch on a little bit more, because there's other stories about them surrounding right now. Morning Mashup, story number three. Pardon me, Orin.
All right. As you guys were watching television last night, I sent you all some texts, because last night was that fun night of the week where I watched The Bachelorette. And I take back the nice things I said about the young lady that's being a bachelorette. She's kind of a mess, but there was
young, really? I mean, she's like 40-something, isn't she? Anyway.
Anyway.
She's a cougar.
In any case.
Ain't nothing wrong with cougars, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
Thank
cougars,
you, Hugh
cougars,
for that, yes.
Cougars are people, too.
In any case, she had a sit down with a guy. Well, there was an event last week where they played strip dodgeball, troops of contestants, and the losing team had to strip. And one of the contestants saw the losers walking back to the room, and he was like, I would never do that. That would never be me. I'm so embarrassed by that. He confronted Claire about that, and this was the very awkward audio of that confrontation.
I'm ashamed to be associated with you. I can't believe I sacrificed so much to be here just to watch this distasteful in classes this way. I'm serious, like, so appalled. Going back to our first date, I feel like you, like, really overreacted. And honestly, it sounded a little crazy. It sounded like, why? Like,
what sounded crazy? So, what about me saying that I want guys who are here for me and not trying to bro out with each other and want to get to know me? I'm looking for a husband. I'm looking
Claire,
for someone
Claire,
to
hold
love,
on, don't, like, hold
love
on,
me. I'm
hold
looking
on,
for
Claire,
some. I've listened to you this entire
no,
time.
No, stop.
Do not stop me. I've listened to you this entire
me.
Time.
Like, seriously, I asked
I've
you,
listened to you
I
for the last
you,
20
I'm,
minutes.
And I'm not done yet. I asked you.
You know
please.
What? You are done. Let me tell you something. The way you're talking to me right now, never in a million years.
Claire.
Listen to me.
Claire.
Listen
hey,
to me.
No.
Never in a million years did I ever think I would have to utter these words again. Do not ever talk to me like that. I never thought I'd ever have to tell any man that I would never want them being the father of my child, and I stand by that. I would never want my children having a father like you. Get out of here.
Claire,
listen
hey.
To me.
Yeah, he got sent home.
I don't even know how to, I don't even know. I mean, yeah. First of all, both of them. I don't know what to say about either
it's
one
a lot
of them.
To unpack there, bro.
Yeah,
and this is, it all happened. He's like, whoa. Like, he talked about his daughter. Like, I thought this is you're sending the wrong message to my daughter. I left my daughter. She's like, I don't care about that. I don't care about you then.
Yeah,
go.
It's her time. It's her time. It's like this. Anytime for me, if you're doing reality TV, man, you got to kind of roll with the punches, I would assume. I mean, that's just my thought when it comes to putting yourself out there on reality TV, and you got to be kind of down for whatever the show calls for. And so for him to be all up in his feelings like that and you get on his moral high horse, dude, you're doing a reality TV show trying to find a wife.
Yeah, it's kind of like low rent, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you're
know
not
I mean?
Exactly
you
the reality, you, right, exactly.
It ain't like you met her at the club and she was, you know, slow grinding with somebody else. You kind of like chose to be on this show.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I guess I didn't miss a whole lot. It's like, yeah, I don't need to go down that road again. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, dating's hard nowadays, John. Forget ain't no joke.
Yeah, right. The Dodgers story ain't going away. It is the big story, and it's suddenly dominating sports. And, you know, this Justin Turner thing, just wild what happened. We'll continue as we see a player yanked off the field in the last game of the World Series because of COVID. Wow. Ahead with John and you.
Urias to Adames. Call strike three. The Dodgers win. Finally, the wait is over. The Dodgers are the champions of 2020 in a year like no other, where joy has been so hard to come by. Tonight, tears of joy. Let them flow. The curse of 88 is 88 and out the gate, and the Dodgers are celebrating out of the middle of the field. The Dodgers, for the first time since 1988, 32 seasons, are the champions of baseball.
Charlie Steiner on the Dodgers radio network, blah, 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 blah. Dodgers win, like I care, all right, whatever. You know, not tears of joy around here, because we sit around here wondering what would have been. But that's just us. By the way, you should know, welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 in the game, that the Braves offseason really kicks into gear as of today. Free agency begins if the Major League Baseball holds to its, and it's a little bit kind of like here and there, Hugh, but they should start free agency. Maybe an announcement today that free agency begins on Monday of next week. So, you know, that's when it should begin, 5 days after the World Series. That's Monday. And the Braves have some questions to answer. But that is not the story, is it, Hugh? Uh-uh. The story isn't that the Dodgers were out on the field celebrating a World Series. The story is that one Dodgers player was out on the field celebrating the World Series, that Dodgers player being another free agent, Justin Turner, because during the game in the eighth inning, he was pulled out of the game by Major League Baseball, and this is what it sounded like when he was taken out on Fox. Apparently it's not.
So that's what it sounded like, John. It was right, silence. Nobody cared.
Yeah, here we go.
We start this show with some breaking news. After the completion of the game tonight, we were informed by Major League Baseball that Justin Turner received a positive COVID test. That's why he was removed from the game. We have no other details at this time. We'll continue, though, to report on this developing story. Obviously, we hope Turner's okay and that everyone else is okay that's been around Turner. But there you go.
Yeah. Oh, man, Hugh, this is not going to go away anytime soon, because I believe, you know, through all this, this is the first time we've had a player or a coach or anybody, you know, taken out of a game, and you're taken out of the game in the eighth inning of the World Series.
Yeah, after you've been playing.
Right.
after you've been playing. That's the thing. And it kind of makes you wonder, John. You know what this does? And I'm not trying to say that this is truth. But, and I'm going to be vague, but I mean, I'm pretty sure you can figure out where I'm trying to go. But it's just funny how, when you think about that story and how they handled that, it kind of makes you go back in time and think about some other stories and how, you know, you hear certain things being said about certain individuals, and then all of a sudden the narrative changed all of a sudden, and they were fine. You know how you hear about some tests that are positive,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden the tests are negative again, and it sounds like it's kind of shady. It kind of calls into question all those false positives now that you've heard that certain players have had in the last couple of weeks, or certain individuals, and then all of a sudden everything is fine, and they go out there and they do their job.
And it may be a false positive. He had an inconclusive test on Monday. They find out during the game in the second inning that his test was inconclusive, and immediately order him in the dugout to take a new test during the game in the second inning yesterday. He takes a new test. They do the rapid thing, which I thought was a 15-minute test. But, you know, I mean, the second inning to the eighth inning is 2 hours, so I don't really know. I don't understand that part of it. But they don't come out to the eighth inning and say, guess what, you just tested positive, we're taking you out of the game. So they haul him out of the game. They put him in isolation. They put Major League Baseball security around him. And apparently the security guys at Major League Baseball are pretty weak, because he was able to break free of those guys pretty easy and walk back out into the field.
I'm going to celebrate with my bros. I'm going to celebrate with my bros.
Yeah. No, you can't do that, Justin. We're Major League Security, and you're supposed to be in isolation. Okay,
stop
fine.
Me.
We won't stop you. Yeah, I mean, Jim, and then he goes back out of the field and celebrates with his teammates. I'm not sure how I'd feel about that if I was. I mean, his teammate. I'd want to celebrate with him. He's my guy. You know.
But
I'm
John.
I'm gonna say this.
I don't know anybody on that team, but I will say this. I think that in that moment. Because it is, you know, you talk about the history of the Dodgers and the last time they won. In that moment, didn't nobody care. In that moment, let me tell you, in that moment when they found out that morning, that, because, see, I'm going to go down the rabbit hole, and I'm going to go ahead and give you my conspiracy theory.
Okay.
I think everybody knew he had COVID, like, that morning, and they said, damn it, we need him. He need to play. Suck it up. And they asked him, how did he feel? He was like, well, hey, I feel great. And he played, and his teammates knew. I think they probably had a closed door conversation about it, and everybody was like, "Bump it, we need him," and they decided whatever happens. John, that's the biggest game of your life at that moment, and I know it sounds selfish and it sounds crazy, but just think about that for a minute, folks, and how hard it is to win championships and what they went through to get to that point.
Right,
John, they made that decision. That's why. It was no thing to me. It was no thing for him to go out there and celebrate with them because they all knew. They knew he tested positive and they were willing to whatever happened.
Oh, yeah, but at that point they did know he tested positive because
at that point, John, they didn't care. That's one of them things when you know how, as guys, when they say, would you give up, you know, one of your testicles to win a championship?
Yep.
And they'll look you straight in the face and they'll say yes. And remember when Ronnie Lott gave up a finger to play all those years? Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
No, that
they
don't make sense to you.
Same thing.
It doesn't make sense, yeah.
And I know for a lot of people that listening to me say that, they can't fathom that, and they say that's the most ridiculous thing that I've heard.
Yeah, but what's your goal in life? I mean,
yeah, that,
know, right?
I mean, that, I mean the priorities for people, like for athletes, is different. And I'm just going to say that. And they knew. And that's why it was no thing for him to go out there because they all made that decision when they found out that he tested positive that, you know what, this is it. This is for all the marbles. So, yeah, that's why they did it. That's why it was no big thing for them. It was no big thing for him to celebrate with his teammates because they knew.
Yeah, I mean, being told that they all got rapid tests after the game. Okay, that's fine. I mean, I assume they
I mean, they did. I'm pretty sure they did.
But I hope that they're
but,
all negative.
But they knew.
I mean,
but right. they knew. My point is this. They knew. They knew going in. They knew going in. I wholeheartedly believe that they knew the situation going in. And they made a decision to a man. You know what? We rode this far. We got to go. We got to have him. So, yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, and for Los Angeles, I mean, they have the Lakers win the NBA title. Now they have the Dodgers win the World Series. I mean, and the Rams are playing well. They're having a year out there in Los Angeles. Los Angeles and Tampa, those two cities are having a hell of a year, and so I don't know which one's having a better year, but they're having a pretty good year, and yet this weird story pops up. Well, not weird story. It's just a COVID story. It's a typical 2020 story. What am I talking about? With Justin Turner, and it's just bizarre how it was all handled. Major League Baseball, has got a lot of questions to answer today, obviously, on priorities and things of that nature. You know, and again, for the Braves, we'll certainly follow the latest, but for the Braves, you know, here comes free agency. That's going to be, as of tomorrow, the discussion is really going to open up with what the Braves do to try to catch the Dodgers. Let's keep this in mind as we talk about this. I'm not going to harp on it, but the man responsible for player development for the LA Dodgers was who?
Alex Anthopoulos.
Yep. Yeah, so... You know, anybody wants to get out there, get on Alex Anthopoulos. Remember, it's his guys, all those young guys that he developed out there, the Corey Seegers of the world, who just won a World Series for the Dodgers. You know, so you got somebody else better in mind, let me know. That's all I'm going to say as we head towards free agency here. The Falcons play tomorrow night. It is the eve of another Falcons game. Booyah, yay, yay. Everybody's excited, aren't you? Okay. But one interesting question about their future. And it's about their next coach that we have that we're going to ask you next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Boy,
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.